Amen. I have a word from the Lord tonight entitled The Valley of Giants. The Valley of Giants. And we are going to be studying from the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles 14. 1 Chronicles 14. If you're new to the faith and you find it difficult to find 1 Chronicles, just find 2 Chronicles and turn over one. The Valley of Giants, 1 Chronicles chapter 14, beginning to read at verse 8. Now, when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went out to search for David. And David heard of it and went out against them. Then the Philistines went and made a raid on the Valley of Rephaim. Valley of Rephaim, that's the same as the Valley of Giants. And David inquired of God, saying, "Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?" And the Lord said to him, "Go up, for I will deliver them into your hand." So they went up to Baal Paratzim, and David defeated them there. Then David said, "God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water." Paratzim means breakthrough. Therefore, they call the name of the place Baal Paratzim, that means the Lord of the breakthrough. And when they left their gods there, that is to say, when the Philistines dropped their idols, David gave a command and they were burned with fire. So he burnt their idols with fire. Then the Philistines once again made a raid on the valley. Therefore, David inquired again of God. And God said to him, "You shall not go up after them." So this is different than the first time. "Circle around them and come upon them in the front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be when you hear a sound of marching in the top of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle. For God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines." So David did as God commanded him, and they drove back the army of the Philistines from Gibeon as far as Gezer. Then the fame of David went out into all lands, and the Lord brought the fear of him upon all nations. This is an excellent study in how God brings us into the fullness of the promise that he has made upon our life. In David's case, God had told him how he would serve the Lord, how he himself would benefit God's people, and how he would fulfill the call of God upon his own life. And in this particular case, the Bible says that as God was fulfilling his promise on David's life, the Philistines heard it. Now, what we read, if we go back a little bit farther, we will find that this was also the time that David had begun to bring the Ark of the Covenant from one place into another place. As he was moving it, there was some bit of difficulty. He had learned some lessons, but you see two things going on in David's life. One, he was moving into the fullness of the promise of God upon his life. And two, he was reacquainting himself with the idea of covenant relationship. If we were to put it in our ordinary language of our day, it would simply be a person who is growing closer both to God personally and also moving closer to the call of God on his life or her life as it pertains to service and ministry. It's very simple. He says, I know what God has called me to, and I feel it's time to begin to see that thing come to pass. God calls him into it. He says, I'm going to go to a certain point. I'm going to get the Ark of the Covenant, and I'm going to bring it to a certain place. And the Philistines hear that this man believes God. It's very simple. He hears, or the Philistines hear, that David recognized, I'm going to do what God has called me to do, and I'm going to see the fulfillment of God's promise on my life. And so they come up against them. The Bible says that there are two basic battles that go on in this valley of giants. Two basic battles. The first one, the Philistines come up against David, and David inquires of the Lord. He begins to pray. Now, this is in very close contrast to the way that Saul would go out into battle. In this particular case, we are reading this on the heels of the fact that Saul had begun to inquire of witches and, as it were, of demonic spirits. David, on the other hand, began to inquire of the Lord. And when he inquired of the Lord, the Bible says that the Lord told him to go ahead directly into the battle. David said, am I supposed to fight this fight? Because I'm imagining maybe he thinks, you know, maybe I was being presumptuous. Maybe I should not have thought that I could take into my hand and into my heart the covenant of the Lord. Maybe I'm being presumptuous. Maybe because, again, if you read the story, you'll find that as he first began to try to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the house of the Lord, somebody had touched the Ark of the Covenant as it began to wobble on the oxen. It shouldn't have been brought up on the oxen, but it was. As it began to wobble, somebody touched that Ark of the Covenant and that person died. And strangely enough, the Lord, the Bible says the Lord broke through on this man, and they call the name of that place Peretz Uzzah. And in other words, the Lord broke through or broke out upon this man Uzzah. So you see this parallel going on now, because all of a sudden he calls this place where God breaks through against God's enemies, he calls that place a breakthrough as well. But this is a man who's believing God is breaking through in his life. God is doing some wonderful things in his life, but as he's going through this time of breakthrough, as he's going through this time of victory, he's seen one or two indications that maybe he's not doing it just right, or maybe he's not exactly where he thinks he is. So on the heels of that, the enemy comes in. So you have a man, in a sense, in a place of growth and development, but as he's growing and as he's developing and as he's moving toward what God has called him to be, he's seeing that he's made some mistakes along the way. So, but he's still convinced that he's supposed to move on. And now the enemy comes. And the enemy comes against him right as he's in the process of moving on, and right as he is aware in that process that he's made some mistakes. So he inquires of the Lord, God, am I actually supposed to do this? Am I moving too fast? Am I moving? And the Lord said, no, I want you to keep moving on. I want you to go ahead and do this. And so, as he begins to move forward in this battle, and he's in this valley of giants, if you understand what I'm talking about, he's going through a place. If we read the story and we kind of ruminate on the ideas, we're going to find that even though this man is moving toward the promise of God in his life, and even though he's embracing the reality of covenant relationship and covenant friendship, he is also in a valley. It's a strange combination of events. He knows that God is moving him on. He's decided to take the covenant promises to heart. He says, I am going forward in God. And yet, as we said, he sees a tragedy in the process of his going forward. And he, at that stage, if you remember, he, instead of bringing the covenant fully into its place, he kind of left it off in a corner somewhere. And now he's in a kind of a valley. And the enemy attacks him as he's in that valley. Just as he attacks you and me sometimes when we are moving ahead in the promise of God, going where we know God has called us to go, doing what we know God has called us to do. But when we take stock, sometimes we realize we might have kind of missed it here or there, or made some mistakes here or there. And some of them seem more difficult to understand than others. But we still feel like, but I know God is moving me forward in his promise. And I know God is drawing me deeper into his person. I know that something wonderful is happening, but I also knew that I blew it a few times. And so the enemy now begins his attack. And the way the text reads, it says, when the enemy heard that David was anointed king. In other words, when he heard that David was moving into the fulfillment of the promise, when he realized that David was not standing still, even though David had to recognize he was having some issues with this, when the enemy knew that David was not going to stand still, he attacked him. Now, that's a strange consideration. Because oftentimes we will find a situation in our own personal lives where we look at our lives and we say, you know, I realize that God is calling me into a promise and I realize he's asking me to move forward in him. And you take a step or two in that direction and somewhere along the line you feel like, oh my goodness, I blew it. Something I did wrong. I was trying to glorify God. I was trying to bless his name, but I touched his glory. I put my hands on the holy things and now I just feel like I can't do anything. And so, like I said, David takes the covenant and he leaves it in a certain place. But at the same time, the Bible suggests that David is still moving forward. It's the same situation as if you and I are in a place where we feel like our development and our growth is on some levels moving forward. And on some levels, it seems like it's just kind of stalled out somewhere. But we have still decided that even though it might be a little bit difficult and even though I might have made a mistake or two, and even though I'm not absolutely sure of where my relationship with the Lord stands, or maybe I'm allowing myself to have some psychological difficulties, I'm still going to continue to seek God's face. I'm still going to continue to open up my Bible. I'm still going to continue to pray. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to try to move forward in what God has asked me to do. When the enemy sees that you are not going to stop, when he sees that even though there might be a time of difficulty or hardship, you have made a decision to keep on keeping on. When he sees that you are continuing to move into what God has called you to be and what God has called you to do, when he sees that, then he comes up in battle. And the Bible says that he met him in the valley of giants. And sometimes that's where we feel like we are, in this valley where every difficulty or every trial seems to be magnified. And the circumstances of the day seem to be magnified. And that's where the enemy figures, if I'm going to get him, that's the best place to get him, or that's the best place to get her. So he meets David in this valley, and David asks the question, Lord, am I supposed to be fighting this fight? Am I supposed to be moving on? Am I supposed to be trying to do the things that you've called me to do? Maybe I've been presumptuous. Maybe I should have just held back when I could have. But the Lord said, no, you go forward. You go into this battle. And then the Bible says that God gave him such a victory that it just seems as though the Lord broke through. Like water, you know what I mean? Just breaks out of a dam and just pours forth against the power of the enemy. The Bible says that God gave him a breakthrough. And so he called the name of that place the Lord of the Breakthroughs. Imagine that in his most difficult situation, a time where he wanted to do something to glorify God and bless the Lord. And maybe he touched it or one of his servants touched it. And God clearly pointed out to him that he wasn't happy about that. But God still said, keep moving. You know, just because God brings a certain amount of correction in our life doesn't mean that he's telling us to stop moving. Just because he's asking us to consider our ways doesn't mean that he's asking us to not go forward in the thing that he's asked us to do. So when David said, should I go forward? The Lord said, of course, go forward. And then the Lord gave him this awesome breakthrough. It was probably something that just seemed instantaneous, that seemed miraculous. It was clearly miraculous. All of a sudden, God just broke out against the enemies of David. All of a sudden, God just broke out against the enemy as the enemy was trying to say to David, you can't come into your kingdom. As the enemy was trying to say, you can't come into the thing that God has called you to. As the enemy was trying to say to him, remember what happened when you tried to move the Ark of the Covenant. You can't come into what God has asked you to do. You remember what happened when you were trying to fulfill your ministry and you kind of moved a little bit into the flesh. You can't come into what God has called you to. Remember what happened when you would try to raise your children in the love and in the worship of the Lord, and maybe you were just a little bit too heavy-handed in your expressions of the word and so on and so forth, and now you can't come into what God has called you to. Now you can't fulfill the call of God on your life to teach your children to love the Lord and to worship Him and to bless Him, because you touched the glory just a little bit, and maybe a little bit of flesh came out. You remember when you were trying to help your husband or your wife to greater appreciate the things of God, and maybe you were a little bit heavy-handed as you tried to drag them on to church, or you tried to make them to understand the Psalms, or whatever the case might be, and now you can't come into this because somewhere along the line your hand touched it. But God said, go forth into this battle. God said, hallelujah. He said, don't stop as God is trying to move you on. And God will give you a supernatural breakthrough. He will come forth like water as the mortars rush into the walls of the enemy and crushes everything in front of him. David said, the Lord has given me that kind of a breakthrough. Now, it's a pretty awesome thing when God moves on that level, so that it just seems like everything is just kind of washed away in front of us. Now, you know the rest of the story, that David goes back and he grabs that altar, and he grabs that ark, and he brings it into the place that God has asked him to bring it into. And there is this form of established worship among the people of God. But there is still this interval. And there is still one more battle to be fought. And the Bible says that even though the Lord came through, even though he broke through, even though he did an awesome and a mighty thing among the people, the enemy kind of bided his time and waited to come back. And the Bible says that the enemy fought him a second time in that same valley. Because, see, David hadn't brought the altar all the way in. He hadn't brought the Ark of the Covenant all the way in yet. And so there's still that bit of a valley. There were still some things that had to happen in his life. Some things, even though he saw this awesome and miraculous victory, there was still something in him that was saying, but there is still this element of coming into the fullness of the covenant. There's still this element of fully realizing the fellowship and the friendship that I have with God. There's still some things that has to happen, some things that have to go on in my life. And so the enemy attacks him one more time in that valley. And so he asks the Lord once again, Lord, am I supposed to go in? Lord, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to fight against these people? Am I supposed to allow your glory and your fame and your name to be made manifest in my life in the way that I understood that it was supposed to happen? But this time the Lord says, no, don't go up against him. Now, what that says to me, firstly, is the Lord reserves the right to bring victory in whatever way he chooses. Now, sometimes the victory seems to come instantaneously. And it seems to come miraculously in the sense that it just happens in a flash. And it happens in a flood. But God was going to bring victory in this case in another way. So he says to him, don't go up. I want you to circle around him. And I want you to, in a sense, come up behind him. In order to do that, they had to go through the woods. And then they had to come out of the woods behind their enemy. Now, that is a long process. We don't see it in the text, but imagine having to skirt around an entire army. The more they skirted around them, the more they had to move from their territory closer to the Philistines' land. So at a certain point, in order to get around them, they had to be between the Philistine army and the land of the Philistines. Had to be, as it were, between a rock and a hard place. God is actually bringing them to a place of vulnerability before he brings them around to this place of victory. And as they're going through that place, in order for them to do it, they have got to, in a sense, stretch out their army and kind of move through so that they are, in a sense, forming a line so that they can get through without being detected, which means, again, they become very, very vulnerable. The army begins to thin out as they kind of do what they can to walk trails in the midst of the wilderness. That puts them in places of danger in many, many ways because, again, for the Philistines to get to where they were to fighting against the Israelites, they had to come through that same area. So they don't know if they're going to meet with Philistines in the woods. They don't know what is going to happen, whether or not the Philistines are simply going to turn back toward their home or maybe call people from where they are and they just get smashed in the midst. They don't know about that. In order for them to get from point A to point B, they have to be very, very quiet. They have to be unseen. They have to be unheard. They have to be still. So in a very real sense, what the Lord is saying is, in contrast to this glorious victory that just seems to come out of nowhere and devastate and dazzle the enemy, now I'm asking you to simply wait for the Lord. And I'm asking you to be still in the presence of the Lord. I'm asking you to put yourself in a place of vulnerability. And I'm asking you to walk a certain kind of a line and move through a certain kind of a trail that requires a certain amount of discipline, requires a certain amount of trust. It's not the same kind of, as it were, clanging the shields and making a great noise. Now it's being very, very quiet, very, very still. Putting yourself in this place of vulnerability where you seem as though you're being surrounded by your enemies. The same God who just told you to go into battle with a shout of victory. The same God who brings this instantaneous victory. You know what it is sometimes where God just brings an instantaneous victory into your situation. Even though you might happen to be in the valley of giants, God seems to bring a victory. Now, I've had situations in my life where I'm going through a difficult time, and yet God will bring a kind of victory that reminds me. It doesn't end the difficulty. It doesn't end the circumstance. It's just enough of a victory to remind me that he has everything under control. Now that's what he did in the first case. Hallelujah. He just brought enough of a victory to let the people know that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. So that must mean that there is something else that he's trying to do. That must mean that he's trying to do something in me because he doesn't just take the whole victory or the entire war. He just takes that particular battle. So he sends that kind of a victory in a specific battle, and then the next battle comes, and this time he says, I'm going to take it a lot slower. And I'm going to ask you to become vulnerable. And I'm going to ask you to be quiet and to be still and to wait. It's a similar situation as when the Lord asked the children of Israel to walk around the walls of Jericho. Sometimes we see that, you know, we try to make a modern day application, and sometimes we'll just have a sort of a ritual march around the block or two because we want to see God move in this area or that area. But you understand, in those days, to march around the wall of a city was the most dangerous thing that an army could possibly do. Because the walls were specifically designed so that if anybody came anywhere near those walls, well, they would just be archers on the top of the walls that would shoot them down. It was the most difficult thing to do. It was a place of vulnerability. And then the Lord didn't just ask them to march around, but he also asked them if they would be still, if they would be quiet, to not say a word. And sometimes it works out that way. Sometimes God wants us to shout with the voice of the archangel, and sometimes he wants us to be silent, to be quiet, and to not. There are times when somebody will ask me, you know, how are you doing? And sometimes I'll feel like I can tell if I'm going through a difficult time. I feel like I can tell them. Other times I will feel like God will say to me, just say, I'm doing fine. Because there are times when God doesn't want me to say anything. It doesn't mean that I'm not going to have an opportunity to say something eventually. But right now, all he wants me to do is to be still. to be quiet. There are times when I'll go to the Lord with an issue and they'll say, I don't want to talk about that right now. And it can sometimes be the most significant thing that I think in my heart. And all he'll ask me to do is trust him. He'll say to me, I don't really want to negotiate that thing with you right now. And I don't want to have to explain that thing to you right now. I don't want to talk to you about it right now. All he'll say is, be quiet and wait for me. So he tells them to walk around, to skirt around their enemy. And then he says, and then when you get all the way on the other side of them, then come out from behind them. So you can imagine these people of Israel coming out of this wilderness, coming out of this wood. It must have been a glorious sight. The enemy couldn't see it, but God was able to see it. It must have been a beautiful thing, because it's the same as a picture of us going through that valley, going through that time of difficulty, going through that time of vulnerability, going through that time of stillness. And then all of a sudden, we just seem to come out of nowhere. We just seem to come out just because God gave us the grace to do it. Do you ever go through a situation in life where you know God has called you into a promise, and you know he's called you into a deeper relationship, and you kind of moved in that, just in that situation, in that direction, and maybe you might have made some mistakes here or there along the way, and you just feel like God is saying, look, to let you know that we are still in right relationship, I'm going to give you a victory in this area that you cannot even explain. But then, because I want you to develop as a person, and I want you to be able to bring that ark in the same way you're supposed to, I'm going to also allow for this other victory to take a little bit more time. Because I'm going to teach you some things throughout the course of this victory. So he gives one miraculous victory so you know you're on the right page. One miraculous victory so you know you're on the right side. One miraculous victory so you know you're doing the right thing. But then he gives you this slower one so that he can help you to bring in the Ark of the Covenant. A slower one so that you can more fully embrace the reality of friendship with God. This slower victory that sometimes puts you in a place of greater vulnerability and sometimes asks you to be still and know that I'm God. You see, when that ark began to tremble on those oxen, there was no man that could hold up the glory of God. No man that could steady his promise. No man that can steady his covenant. So when they tried to steady it, it was clear indication that they didn't recognize the nature of this covenant relationship. We don't stabilize God's covenant promise. And so David had to recognize, before he could bring that place from now from Obed-Edom's house into Jerusalem, he had to recognize a few things. And so two things happened. One battle said, don't worry, God may have corrected you, but he's still with you. He still loves you. And he's still going to bring you into the fullness of the promise. So the victory is quick. It was to the point. The only thing that he needed to learn was God was still with him. The other victory, though, slow, steady, methodical, because it was going to teach him some things about what it means to be in covenant relationship with God. Teach him that he doesn't need to hold up God's end of the bargain. Teach him that he doesn't need in his own strength to fulfill the nature and the essence of the covenant that we have with Christ. And so God put him in a place of vulnerability. And God put him in a place of quiet. And God put him in a place of wilderness where he had to go through these trees and his whole army. And as they're moving through, they just have to walk this straight and narrow line so that they don't get lost and they don't get devoured by the animals that are in the wood and all these things. Place of incredible vulnerability. And yet throughout, God is inching them closer and closer and closer to their victory. Imagine what it must have been. Please don't see this as a 15-minute trek. It would have taken them days to do this. At every point, they're vulnerable. Now their enemy is behind them, and the enemy's territory is in front of them. Now there's the cold, and there is the weather of the wilderness, and now there are the animals, and there are the beasts of the wilderness, and now there are their own fears and their own concerns, and now there is this only word from God. Just keep moving and meet me on the other side. I don't know about you, brother and sister, but there have been times where I just felt like I'm in that kind of a journey. Enough miracles going on in my life to know that I'm on the right path. Enough victories going on to know that I'm doing what God has called me to do. Enough victories to know that I am moving closer and closer. And the only thing that I have to go on sometimes is the word of God. Just that God said, hallelujah, go in this path and I will do a wonderful thing. So we go sometimes and we just walk because God told us to walk. And we go just because God told us to go. And we move just where God tells us to move. And we hear the howling of the animals sometimes. And I can imagine they heard the armies of the Philistines on the one side. And they're making their noise. And they're trying to frighten the Israelites. And I can imagine what must have been going on in their minds and in their hearts. And they just kept going. Just kept marching. One at a time now. You see, as they're going through this forest, they got to walk one at a time. And there's a little bit of a solitary nature involved now. Now, all of a sudden, they're not locking, you know, arms with each other in this huge array. Now they got to kind of thin out and march along, you know, maybe one or two, or maybe sometimes because the trees got so close, sometimes they just had to be a very solitary walk. And sometimes it works that way with us. And we think about the great victory that just happened, this breakthrough, and we wonder, why not now? And until we remind ourselves, there's some things that God still wants to teach us. So they go through the darkness. And they go through the cold. And they go through the loneliness. And they go through the vulnerability. And all they have going for them is God's word. God told me to walk this way. God told me to go this way. And then all of a sudden, after days and days and days of marching through this and crawling through that, after days and days, you have to see it with your mind's eye. See, the trees all lined up. And they're all thick and you can barely see between these trees. And all of a sudden, this army just begins to flow through. And it's as though they just are appearing out of nowhere, as though they're stepping out of the heavenly realm and stepping right into our reality. These are people coming through loneliness, brokenness. I mean, they're beaten, they're scratched, they're bruised just from going through the trees. You understand what I'm saying? But they are coming through, and it just seems like they're fading in out of nowhere, coming in from the battle, coming in from the wilderness, coming in from, and the battle that they would fight with the Philistines is nothing compared to the battle that they had to fight going through those woods, in that, the battle of the mind. And now they begin to come out. And then the Bible says that when they came out, the Lord's direction to them was, when you come out, just stay there. Don't move. Now imagine this as they are going through this wilderness in order to circle around their enemies and come out the other side. They probably heard the enemies and all the plans that the enemy had for them. They probably, in their quiet as they're walking through, they probably heard all the threats against them, because in those days, the enemies would yell out. So they're yelling out in this direction, thinking that they're talking to the Israelites. Meanwhile, the Israelites are coming around, but they can hear it. They can hear it. And now all of a sudden, they come out and their enemies' backs are to them. And the enemies are still yelling in that direction. And they have all the power in the world to come up against the enemies and to take them. And imagine, God brings us through a time where we have to deal with the battle of the mind, and we hear the lie of the enemy over and over, and all of a sudden we realize we have the upper hand. All of a sudden we come out of this barrenness and we realize God has brought us through, and we look forward and we say, you know, I've outsmarted my enemy. I can pounce on him if I want. And yet, hallelujah, and yet we hear God saying, don't. You ever have a situation when you're dealing with somebody, let's just say it's somebody who you can tell is being animated by the enemy, and somehow you figured out a way to outsmart them? You know what I mean? I mean, they're yelling in this direction, and you're back here sneaking up behind them, and you know you have got them outfought. You know you can work it out. You know that you're in a position to hurt them. And yet you hear God say, no. Now, it's a strange thing. I think it was because God wanted them to understand that this war is not a flesh and blood thing. You know how I know it was that? Because he said to them, I want you to wait for me there. And then he said, I want you to listen. And when you hear the sound of marching on the tops of the trees, when you hear the sound of an army on the tops of the trees, when you hear an army that transcends the human situation, when you hear an army that marches from the heavenlies, see, what you see happening here is heaven entering into earth's affairs. And the armies of God are beginning to march overhead. Can you imagine this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, when you hear that army beginning to march, then you go forward. Because then you know that God has gone before you. Can you imagine? I remember Joshua. Remember? Hallelujah. Remember Joshua is coming into the promise of the Lord, and he meets a man there. And the man, of course, is the angel of the Lord. It's a manifestation of Christ before the incarnation. But still, it's just enough of a manifestation for Joshua to see that even though Joshua, you mind yourself, Joshua was the captain of the host of the Lord. In other words, Joshua was the general of God's army, right? But so when Joshua sees this man, he asks the man, are you on our side or are you on their side? And that man says, neither. I am the captain of the host of the Lord. You know what I mean? So you have Joshua's, you know, in a very real sense, you know, up until that point, he was like, okay, I'm the captain of God's host. And then he sees this one, this heavenly one, this glorious one. And this one simply says to him, no, I'm the one who's fighting this battle. I'm the one who's going forth and bringing victory. Now, this is a kind of victory that takes a little while to see fulfilled. You might see miraculous victories throughout a situation, but then there is this one major victory that's going to end this battle right then and there, but it takes a little bit longer. And it involves sometimes a little bit of loneliness. And it involves sometimes a little bit of the battle of the mind. It involves sometimes a little bit of cold and a little bit of darkness. It involves sometimes a little bit of vulnerability where you feel like you're surrounded by your enemies. But at a certain point, you begin to come out of that wilderness. You begin to come out of that time of difficulty. And the Lord said, when that begins to happen, just wait and begin to listen. Because you're going to hear the sound of marching in the tops of the trees. You're going to begin to sense a move of God that is unlike anything that you've experienced before in your life. You're going to begin to sense the activities in the heavenlies. You're going to know that God is doing something awesome. There have been times in my life where I knew that God was about to bring an awesome victory. Something greater than anything that I had felt up until that time. Even if up until that time I had experienced some miracles. And I had experienced some great victories. Yet every now and again there is something that is utterly awesome. Where you have been waiting for the Lord for a certain amount of time. And you've allowed him to walk you through the valley of the shadow of death. You've allowed him to walk you through some difficult and some hard times because you know that he's faithful. At times where all you had to go on was his word. All you had to go on was his promise. You allowed him to walk you through times of darkness and loneliness and through times of fear and worry because you simply understood that he was with you and that he had given you some instruction. But then all of a sudden, it seems like you are coming out of nowhere. All of a sudden, it seems like the wilderness just opens up and you just come forth. And then, as you are waiting upon God, the Lord just seems to move heaven and earth. Heaven just seems to come down to the earth and begins to cause the mighty oak to tremble. Begins to cause the trees to waver and to wonder. Because God is doing something awesome every now and again, my brother and my sister. There is this thing that rises up in us that says, I've been in the valley long enough. I've been in the wilderness long enough. I've been waiting long enough. All of a sudden, something begins to tremble. All of a sudden, something begins to shake. All of a sudden, the heavens and the earth seem to be in unity and seem to sing in harmony. All of a sudden, we know that God is about to do an awesome thing. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to God! Something that's different. The doors begin to open. You see, at a certain point, the Lord said to the children of Israel, after they had marched around Jericho, he said, there comes a time to shout. There comes a time to acknowledge that God has chosen to do a great and a mighty thing. There comes a time to look at all the great breakthroughs and all the great miracles that have preceded it and said, all of these things are small things in comparison to this great thing that God has chosen to do on this day and in this generation. When the fullness of the breakthrough happens, the fullness of it. When it's time to bring the Ark of the Covenant to its true resting place. When it's time to say to the Philistines, this far and no farther. Here shall your proud waves be stayed. When it's time to say to the devil, no more, no more, no more, no more. Hallelujah. When it's time to say that God has chosen to bring a real victory. One that sometimes comes on the heels of hard times and difficulty. Sometimes comes on the heels of hardship and tribulation. But it comes on the heels of waiting, on the heels of hoping, on the heels of trusting, on the heels of believing, on the heels of living sometimes with only the Word of God to keep us keeping on. Sometimes, my brother and sister, there is something that begins to stir in the heart of the Christian person. When the trees begin to shake. When the mountains begin to quake. When the thunders begin to roll. And it becomes apparent that God is in the mood to do a new thing. God is in the mood to do a great thing. God is in the mood once again to see his name glorified in the earth. And let me remind you that when God has determined to glorify his name, there is nothing that the devil can do to stop him. Hallelujah! 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 Glory! 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 Glory to his holy name. There is no other God. There is no other hope. There is no other redeemer. There is no other savior. There is no other healer. There is no other name by which we must be saved. Hallelujah! 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 Glory to his name! Glory, glory, glory! There comes a time! 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 Hallelujah! Glory to God! When the treetops, hallelujah, begins to bear witness that God is about to vanquish his enemy, that God is about to be glorified in the midst, that God is to be praised once again. And there's some people in this room that's in the valley of giants right now. And the enemy wants to tell you that you may as well stop, you may as well go back, but no. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. We're not going back, we're going forward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to pray with you this evening. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise his holy name. If God is speaking to you tonight, and you're saying, God, I feel the movement of the Holy Spirit. And I feel you calling me into the fullness of the promise and into the fullness of covenant relationship. And I refuse to allow the devil to stop me. If you're willing, my brother and my sister, to allow God to bring you into that kind of a victory, then I want to pray with you this afternoon, this evening rather, and we'll see the move of God in the heavenlies and on earth. We will see God glorified in our lives. In Jesus' name. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. We've been a little long today. Well, praise God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You can begin to come to the front. My brothers and my sisters, as God moves on your heart, there is a victory that is yours in Christ Jesus. Don't let the devil lie to you. Don't let him take from you what belongs to you. Don't let him take from you what belongs to Christ, what Christ is doing in you. Come to the front of this auditorium, my dearly beloved. We will pray together, believing God to be glorious in the midst, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you so much, my brothers and sisters. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you. We thank you for all of the victories that are in you, all of the victories that are yea and amen in you. But God, we thank you more specifically for the fact that you choose and reserve the right to give us victory in any way that you choose, Lord, whether it be an immediate victory in some areas or whether there are times of a process by which you cause us to depend more and more upon you, to grow closer and closer to you. Lord, our goal is simply to bless you. Lord, we believe in you. We know that there comes a time when you simply speak and all the earth trembles. Lord, you send your word and you heal all disease. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we simply stand in awe of you. We acknowledge your right to be God to us in whatever way you choose, according to your own wisdom, according to your own timing, and always according to your great and tender love. We thank you that you are the God of the breakthroughs and you are the God of the covenant. We can come to you, O God, at any given time and to bear witness to the fullness of your goodness. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now that your name might go forth with power and with authority through every life, O God, so that men and women will know that there is such an one as God. Lord, would you cause the trees to tremble? Would you cause the earth to quake? Would you cause the devils to flee? Would you cause your name to be glorified? God, we thank you for great things in this generation. Believe you for mighty things. Now, God, we simply rest upon you. And we say that we will not move until we be clothed with glory from on high. We will not move until you move. We will not go until you go, but when you go, oh God, we will go with you and we will rejoice in your victory. And now, God, we ask that above everything, we find ourselves gathered around your goodness, gathered around your grace, not focused on our enemies, but focused on you. We gather where you ask us to gather. We move when you ask us to move. We ask only this, Jesus, that you never send us alone. We need you. We depend upon you. And we know that you're faithful. Now we thank you, Jesus. We pray your blessing upon each one. Ask that your name be lifted up, oh God, in every life. We want to walk in your victory. We love you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Amen.